Hello, welcome to The Catch-Up. Thank you for streaming. Make sure you subscribe. Jonathan Thurston has a brand new book out, Robin Bailey.
Yeah, it's out today and we were reading, now I'm not going to say the word right and Moon's going to correct me, excerpts.
You did.
Yes.
It. Well done.
It's excerpts.
Great. Put the P in there.
You hit all those consonants. And I brought Rupert to work today and we were speaking to you about the time that your dog went to work. Very interesting
call. We'll finish cleaning the carpet soon. And, of course, we had Deep Moon Man. You're at home alone or with your dog. What have you been up to? Suspicious.
No good.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Hey, first up, can we talk about Jonathan Thurston?
Yes, we can.
When's the book actually
today.
Coming out? Oh, today.
Yeah, it's out today.
And we've got
the whole thing printed in the weekend newspapers? Because I read
you too?
7 pages of excerpts.
Me too, the extracts. Have we got Thursday on our show?
Wednesday.
You can't miss that, everybody. But so I reckon Friday, Saturday, yesterday, and again today, there's extracts and all different ones. I don't think I need to buy the book. I've just about heard enough.
Okay.
Can I give you this one? Here we go. This is, I don't know, even know what chapter. They're just throwing Thurston stories. Fast forward 2 years and I'm being dragged out of the back seat of the family car. I'll just stay here, I said. It's too hot. You go and I'll wait in the car. So he waited in the car, Thurston. Come on, Mum said. Get out. Go and have a kick with the boys. I looked out the window and the ground was packed from toddlers to teenagers. Boys were flying everywhere. No, you go, I said to Mum. You take Shaney. That's his younger brother. I'll stay here. Mum shook her head, but you got to sign on. If you don't register today, you won't be able to play.
Oh,
I know, I'm building the tension.
Touch and go.
Listen to this.
Get out of the sedan.
I shrugged my shoulders and shut the door. I didn't care if I never played rugby league again. And it was all over a tracksuit.
Oh.
Oh.
Really? The chain had the tracksuit and Thurston didn't have it?
No, Dane had it. Hey, look at Dane, one of the boys that said at a footy carnival the year before. What's he wearing? Now, it was around the time of the Broncos starting. And this Dane kid, he had a Broncos tracksuit, which meant the Broncos scouts had said, come and play for the Broncos. They're 13 years of age and no one ever gave...
Thurston wanted a tracksuit.
He didn't want any tracksuit. He wanted one of those Broncos ones with, you know, the parachute type material.
Oh, yeah.
The story
1980s.
Goes on.
So did Dane go on or is he just lost in history?
Well, I don't know.
Another failure.
All right. Does anyone know Dane Campbell? I know every player to ever play rugby league and I never know. Dane didn't go on with it.
So Dane got the tracksuit but didn't get the call-up.
Is that Broncos gear, another kid? And then Thurston, God, he had big ears when he was a kid. There's a couple of phones. Look at them.
Okay, your ears keep growing.
Is that why he wears a helmet to keep his ears in?
I think so.
Get ripped off.
All right, hold on. Dane also had a Broncos polo and a Broncos bag, which means he must be good. He must have been signed by the Broncos. Then Thurston noticed that everyone was getting Broncos tracksuits that were in the rep footy teams and he wasn't.
Okay, of all the stories to pick of Thurston, you chose the tracksuit story?
That's today's story.
Okay, what about Alfie's story? That's far more exciting.
What's the Alfie story?
Well, okay, if I were to say to you,
Was this the one from yesterday?
Yeah, Jonathan Thurston and that kick. What kick are we talking about?
2015 grand final from the sideline after Kyle Felt scored in the corner. He lines up and...
Against
the Bronx.
Right. Okay. So do you want to hear the excerpt about Alfie?
About what? That kick.
I went about clearing my head as I placed the tee on the ground. I was looking through the posts to find my new mark. When my concentration was suddenly shattered. JT, shouted a voice, a very familiar voice. You want $500, old mate? I turned and Alan Langer was smiling.
Alfie was talking to him while he took that kick.
The Broncos legend turned Broncos trainer stood behind me, water bottle in hand, grin slapped across his face. Well, miss it and it's yours.
Hmm. Whoa.
And he missed it.
Is there ever any
alligator?
It hit the crossbar and bounced out.
Oh.
It hit the upright. Jeez, I'll have to watch the game again.
Did he get his 500?
Has Alfie paid up?
Well, he hasn't said that. Oh, see, that's something that's not in the book.
It's not in the book? Where'd you just read it?
No. The fact that he paid up or not, we don't know.
Yes. Well, we can ask him on Wednesday. A premiership and $500. How lucky are you?
Massive career. Can we also just sort something out?
What?
When there's an extract from a book in a newspaper, it's an excerpt. PT.
Let me just...
Okay.
Oh.
Sorry.
Thank you, Grammar Nazi. I'm glad we cleared that up. It's the big breakfast.
It's picking on the dyslexic again.
Brisbane's Triple M.
Not anyone.
Wake up with the big breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Just a little time ago, Robin, you said... What is that licking my toes?
It was a slightly odd sensation while being on the radio.
Under the desk is my Labradoodle crossed with a Spoodle, Rupert Bear, and I brought him into work today. It's not officially bring your dog to work day, but I spoke to our producer, Scott Menz, the great man. And
asked permission, did you?
I said, can I bring the dog in? If this is going to compromise you, I said, don't answer this.
Oh, did you actually ask permission?
Well, you've got to ask permission because in this building, there is somebody who has applied to the general manager to have all dogs banned because they have an allergy.
Oh.
There's an allergic in the building.
Whereas on work sites, we all used to bring dogs to work.
There's an allergic in the building and they've ruined it for everyone. Oh, now, God. I don't want to bully, but come on,
you shouldn't bring dogs to work.
Sort your allergy out.
Yeah,
no, but dogs just make everyone happier. The moment they see a dog, they go, oh, it's a little cutie dog. And it just raises spirits. And dogs have been used in nursing homes and dogs have been used in
some people
asylums.
Get scared of them though.
Some people, yeah. Mm. In Indian Uber drivers, Indians don't like dogs.
Oh.
Don't they?
They would just cross the street rather than come near a dog.
What's the story there?
If you get bitten by a dog in
India, they're rabies.
Rabies. You're going to have to seek medical care and that's expensive.
Righto.
Yeah, but so Rupert's in here because last night he had a bit of a chunder. Just I heard him get up.
Yeah.
Tip-tap-tip-toe down the stairs.
Because he sleeps with you on your bed.
He sleeps with me, so I'm kind of aware when he gets up, and then I could just hear the gusher. And then I woke up this morning, I thought, I can't leave him on his own because my wife's overseas with Maggie, so I've brought him in. Thanks for putting up with him, guys.
Oh, he's adorable.
That's good. I didn't know
there
that was
a little man.
Yeah.
Oh, he's missing his mum. So I think he's going to be okay. He is on Spew Watch, but I don't think he's going to cause any problems.
You got it easy because you only got one dog here at this workplace, at building sites. I don't see many dogs on the back of utes anymore. So there's a lot of people because people go, well, you can't bring your dog because it used to be a nightmare when they'd go inside the house and they'd be dirty and,
Always
dogs on.
Because we were able to. Because you'd get going in the morning, the dog would jump in the back, you go, oh, come on, may as well go. And there'd be five dogs. There'd normally be one dog to fight a day. And normally around Smoko because someone.
Yep.
Pie. And yeah, there's not many other dogs other than building site dogs eat. Should they drink chalky milk as their.
As their
I can guarantee you, Rupert will eat and drink anything. So at Smoko, we can give him whatever we want.
So we used to have fights every day. You'd have to pull them apart. Sorry about that.
Any funny stuff happen when the dogs came to work?
I've told this story before because dogs are so, because there'd be four, five dogs and they'd all try to get, after everyone got out of the wheelbarrows or wherever you were sitting at Smoko, and they'd grab the food. There's one dog, he was a stupid dog. German short-haired pointer, which they go and retrieve ducks sometimes. After you shoot the ducks in the lake, they'll go. Yeah. But on a building site, what they do is hoover up anything. Plastic bag coming out of the backside of the dog.
Because he ate Smoko and the bag
and
it was
the bag.
In.
Like, that's stupid.
That is terrific. So what happened when you took your dog to it? Have you ever taken Rabo?
Rabo's? No. He gets a little anxious. He has some anxiety issues. We didn't want to make him tip him over the edge.
Do they take dogs? They don't have a bring your dog to school day, do they?
Oh, not
I
that
remember
I've heard.
Occasionally a dog would just turn up at school, or follow a kid, and then the dog's in the playground.
Dog in the playground.
Rupert, Labradoodle crossed with a spoodle, full name Rupert Bear, or Mr. Rupert Bear to you, actually, Brendo.
Sorry.
If you don't mind.
He's pretty happy, isn't he? Just sitting under your feet.
Well, that's what they want to be. Dogs are pack animals. They want to be with you. They don't like to be left at home. When you're leaving and they see you going and they read the cues, they know that once you've got out of the shower and put the deodorant on, you're heading out.
I saw our dog when I had the bag the other day. They want to go with you. They go, there's a bag and there's a car and he's gone.
And there's a person.
It used to be beautiful to take your dog to work. I don't do it anymore.
Do you know why they're so excited when you come back through that door? Because when you go, in their mind, you're not coming back.
Oh.
So they just go and find a place to curl up. And when they see you again, they're just like, oh, my God, he's back. Yeah, I can't believe it. It's like, I come back every day, mate.
Anyway, we want to hear about the good, the bad and the ugly of taking your dog to work. Hello, Chucky of Buckend.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, mate.
Good. Can you tell us what
happened? There was a builder who had his dog at work and the bricklayer was showing him a few things that were wrong with the frame. And had to get fixed up, but he's using his 4-foot level as a pointer to show him, and it looked like he's taking a swing at the builder.
Uh-oh.
And old Bluey, he comes from out front of the truck and slaps onto the back of the guy's car. Would not let go. About 10 stitches later, he's back on site, hobbling around.
Yeah.
Don't mess with the catalogue.
Oh, do they still work together, those two?
I'm not sure. I know the Ricky's probably still got a limp.
I tell you what, you do have to be careful of blue heelers or red heelers because they have quite That's a benign look on their face. They look like, oh, I'm friendly. You go to pat them, it's like,
that's their go. They love an Achilles tendon. That's what they're always chewing away. That's why they're not great to work with cattle, because they can ruin your cattle if they actually latch hold. No, well, the cattle, you got to put the cow down.
Oh, Shane of Helensvale, what happened when you took your dog to work?
Oh, we got given this blue heeler. He was mean as a cut snake. No one wanted him, so we took him and used to take him to work every day. Anyway, roost hole, and you end up coming up the ladder every day. So then he gets stuck on the roof.
Well, I've seen this before. They get up there, but they can't walk down the ladder, can they?
No, and he was that type of dog. When you try to grab him, he'd bite you or growl at you. So 9 times out of 10, he'd just jump off.
So is he still on a roof somewhere, Shane?
Snarling at people.
That's the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
It's time for Dear Moon Man. It's my opportunity to open my heart and my hands to the Triple M community. And if anyone's got a problem, please write into me. Today, Dear Moon Man is from a woman called Lou. Huh. She says, I'm a businesswoman.
Isn't your wife Lou?
Yeah. I've got a 5-year-old daughter.
Haven't you?
So
coincidence.
Do you.
Weird coincidences. She writes, I'm overseas on business. I've taken my daughter, leaving my husband at home on his own.
Sound familiar, Robert?
Yeah, it does.
I would normally leave my daughter with my mum or my husband's mother-in-law, but they had a falling out last time I did that, and so I've decided to take my daughter with me now.
Robin, remember when he talks about his mother-in-law? He mainly talks about her big underpants, and that may have caused some of the fallout.
That may have been the issue with this man having his mother-in-law leave her massive Reg Grundy's slung over the side of the shower.
Okay.
I wonder if the mother-in-law's hurt by the fact that she's no longer looking after her.
I think the mother-in-law's learned how to stream our show or to do the catch-up and has heard about how big her underpants are on our show. But that wouldn't be this letter.
Why do oldies need to give the gusset a bit of a scrub?
Okay, come on. Let's go back to what has happened to poor old Lou.
Okay. So Lou writes, I've left my husband at home. I'm worried because he's a man with impulse control issues.
Amazing. You said that last week also.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of men out there with impulse control issues. He's also been left in charge of our dog, who happens to be at work with him today. So things are going tits up. What really concerns me is that we have a shared credit card, so I can see exactly how much I've spent and how much he has spent. And so I've recently been looking at what he's spent.
What has he been spending it on?
What has he been spending it on? What he hasn't been spending it on is food. He has bought no fruit or vegetables. There's no Coles, Woolworths, or independent grocers.
Is this woman worried about this with her husband?
Yeah, she's worried about his nutrition.
But what has he spent?
She doesn't get back soon, her husband's going to have rickets.
Yeah, that's right.
Scurvy.
Scurvy. Whatever he's spending it on has always got a very dubious name, like APC Holdings or or some kind of...
So what does she want us to do?
Well, she's just saying, what can I do about it? Well, by the time you get home, your husband's probably will pass away from malnutrition, so you don't have to worry.
You won't have to leave him here.
The Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
Righto.
Bang, straight out.
Righto. Yeah, tear the top off it straight away because this is a strange one. This is about daylight savings. Robin, I've asked you, is it up?
Yeah.
You got ready to go?
Yeah.
When was Telmoon this? All right, we don't have daylight savings here in Brisbane, okay? And here's the reason. What year was that referendum?
February 1992, when 54.5% say they were not in favour of daylight.
And which premier
45%.
Which premier took that to the people? Goss?
Geez, that's not bad historical analysis. It would be about Goss. It doesn't matter. The thing was, I wasn't even here. So I always claim I never had a say. I was overseas playing footy.
Oh, so therefore they should ask
they
you
should
and
have
wait.
26 years. That is that's a whole generation. It's 25 years a generation.
Brendan's age.
I think
that's right.
Correct.
He's never had a go. Lot of people have never had a go, and all these people who have tasted daylight saving from down south have never had a go to overturn it. And you know my feelings before the weekend, I was rock solid that daylight savings was the greatest thing ever.
Especially for southeast Queensland, you were for. If the rest of Queensland don't want it, then split the state in two.
Does everyone understand how the state splits away, you know, drifts away up around Cairns, and Cairns is as far west as Longreach is? So that's, and I can understand. So they don't know what they're going to do. But I now will turn completely to the other camp after spending the weekend in Melbourne. Daylight savings ain't all it's cracked up to be.
Okay, look, on a weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, you're out, you're about. The fact that you've got that extra hour of daylight at that end,
that'd be wonderful.
Terrific. But as you get older and you wake up earlier, you think, why is it dark? I want to get up in the light.
That's right. Anyone who gets up around 4:30, 5 o'clock or even earlier every day, we don't want any more daylight savings. I've realised that it's not for me. It's great for our tourism.
Oh,
at the end
be ridiculous.
But isn't it harming you? Like,
no,
you go to bed.
I don't. There's something very disturbing in the height of summer and you get up and it's the clock says 3 something or just before 4 and it's daylight. That's weird.
But I think that's good. We spend our whole year getting up in the dark. It's nicer about 2 or 3 months of the year to get up with a bit of light shining on.
So you want your hour at the end of the day.
Oh, absolutely. When I can hang out and be outside and enjoy the life that, you know, how many people are actually getting up at 3 or 4 a.m.?
That's where I used to be in that camp and go, we rely on tourism dollars here in Queensland. When do tourists spend money?
At night.
At the start of the day or at the finish of the day? Great for that, but me, that's why Cairns should have it, because that's all
so
they exist.
Why
on.
The backflip, Marto?
Because
what happened? What happened down there in Melbourne?
I saw what time it got dark at about 8:15, 8:20 at night. It got dark.
It was 27 degrees. Beautiful,
I
apparently.
Got to bed before 8:30 at night. I don't want to be, it'd feel really weird, and I can see what these, now I know when the mums go, I can't be putting my kids to bed, you know, kids who go to bed at 7:38. It's total light.
Yeah.
It won't work, and no, I can understand. I've now jumped camp.
No, of course you have.
Let's have, well, haven't had a referendum. We haven't had a referendum since 1992. Let's have one right here, right now.
All right.
Oh, it's a perennial.
Okay.
Do you want?
Yeah. Marto says.
Well, let's check what everyone's thinking, because we never ask. People like me yell and scream and other people don't say anything.
Yeah.
Let's give them a point.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
So unusual. You have changed and flipped your opinion on daylight savings.
All right, but I haven't just done it in my mind. I lived it on the weekend. I experienced daylight saving down in Melbourne, and then I come back here and I go, hold on, I don't want daylight saving. Uh-huh. Actually, if you could give it to me on weekends, that'd be fun. But our life of getting up early, and that's a lot of our listeners, get up early. We don't need daylight saving.
No.
And we haven't had a vote on it since 1992. It was, 54 against 46, the vote?
Yeah, that's right.
Why don't we check it out right now if anyone does give us stuff? Because I got the feeling that there's a lot of people, especially those that wake up early, do not want it, even in Brisbane.
Do you know what? I reckon a lot of people want it to standardise with the rest of the country because they couldn't be bothered doing the maths.
Brett of Albany Creek, what do you reckon about daylight savings?
Yeah, I'm a fan. I grew up down south and it was absolutely brilliant. You'd be playing cricket with your mates after school and into the early evening. It was just brilliant. And look, you just have to cater to the population. I mean, 10% or 15% of the population get up at up past 4 or something stupid in summer. Cater to the rest. Bring in the tourism dollar. Just make it work. Get on with it.
That's what I used to say, but now
you,
I realise.
Speaking
that,
sense.
Yeah, well, obviously Brett doesn't get up early enough, so for a couple of months of the year, I'd love to get up in the sun. Well, yeah, when it's light.
Okay. Chris of Redland Bay. Hello, Chris.
How are you?
Hey, yeah, good. What do you think about daylight savings?
No, I don't think Queensland should have it at all.
Why
really?
Not, Chris?
Why?
Most people, by the time they get home, it's 5:30, 6 o'clock. By the time they do dinner and carry on, and then they watch the news, and most people will sit down and watch the Idiot Box for half an hour.
Yeah.
The sun will already be gone. So you're stuck inside anyway.
I bet that's
so
the barbecue culture.
Well, the barbecue culture, yeah. But by the time you finish cooking it, it's 7:30 at night anyway, by the time you finish having dinner.
It sounds good in theory, doesn't it? The fact that, oh, we've got all these hours. But the reality is the grind of daily life means that we've just got things to do. There's maybe one or two nights a week is all you've got to go out and enjoy yourself, isn't it?
If you're lucky.
Hey, I'm with you.
By the time, when you're a trader and you get up and go to work at, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, you get home at 5:30. By the time you do dinner and carry on and sit down and relax for half an hour, it's all over and done with anyway.
If the light's out, then you'll be more motivated to spend more time with your family and get outside. But thank you, Chris. And Richard What do you reckon about daylight savings?
Yeah, look, we've got to get it purely for the fact of lining up with the southern states. They're not major issues, but, you know, I can't jump on a plane and get to Sydney before 10:30. The amount of time I want to ring someone at 4 or 5 in the afternoon and I go, oh, they've already gone home, and, you know, the first race on Cup Day starts at 10 o'clock.
We just got to line up. That's a good one. How many time zones are there in the United States? Six or five or six? And they seem to have $250 million people that can get their stuff together. Now, why can't we? 1 hour. That's all it is.
All right, the results are in. You've backed the wrong horse, brother. 90% of people say we need daylight savings. We want it.
90%, Greg Martin.
All right, well, let's change it. Let's put that one. Can you get those exact figures when we have the Premier on? Let's put that to her as well.
I don't know if the politician's got an appetite for it.
That's right. No politician's got an appetite. Actually, when does Palaszczuk come on? Because also we want to talk to you.
She's not coming on.
Yeah, she's pulled the pin.
It's funny she mentioned that.
She heard that you were going to bully her over fuel prices, and she's pulled the pin.
Are you serious?
We had her locked in, and because of your belligerent fuel price carry-on...
Hold your ammo, please, because I would really love to hear what you have to say about that after 8 o'clock. It is a quarter to 8.
Let's wind him up again.
The big breakfast. Fuel prices.
Triple
M's big breakfast.
Okay, I'm not sure I actually want to ask this question because I have a feeling I know the answer. New research out of the UK is saying that the body wash craze that has been taking over the world for the last 20 years is on the decline.
What, they've done that survey in the UK? Did they ask both of them?
And soap is making a comeback.
No, it's not. Not in the UK.
If you were selling soap and hoping to make some money, you wouldn't go to England, would you?
How do you get a pom out of the bath, throw a piece of soap in?
And the reason
we've got English parents, so we're allowed to say that.
The reason why I'm slightly concerned about asking this question is Sean and I fight about body wash versus soap.
Can I just go back, before we go body wash versus soap, how often did your father shower a week?
Oh, okay. It's a good question, actually.
Are we saying not every day?
My father was an Englishman.
So this is true.
He would shower once a week.
When I was in England.
And he would stand at the...
In a barrel.
Like a barrel, but he would stand at the sink in the bathroom with a flannel, wash underneath his arms, wash the back of his neck, and then...
But hold on. You're not talking... You lived in Melbourne.
We lived in Melbourne through summer, winter, autumn, hail, rain or shine, once a week.
What's the story there?
Well, they don't have showers often. My sister lived in the UK when you moved to Melbourne. Yeah, but you're not used to doing it. My sister lived in the UK for 20 years and they'd only wash once a week.
Yeah.
And this is recently.
Tell me, did they not have water over there? Or what's the problem? It's too cold.
Oh. You don't want to get undressed.
It's too cold to get out of the bath. You catch your death of cold.
Oh, God.
But, you know, both of our fathers died prematurely, so that...
Probably from lack of washing.
Showers help you live longer.
Anyway, I just want to know... Do you use soap or do you use body wash? Do you use a bar of soap? Because Sean is very thingy about having a bar of soap for his crevices, apparently.
Okay, what kind of soap, too?
Well, it doesn't care. Like, it doesn't have to be fragranted.
I always use soap. How else are you going to get those loose pubes off?
Oh, okay.
Because body wash, you need that kind of spongy... thing, don't
loofah
you?
The loofah.
Well, a loofah, but there's also the kind of terralene spongy
thing.
Yeah,
I use a loofah.
I prefer a piece of soap, a bar of soap.
Why?
Because then, you know, if you want to go crevice deep, you can use a face washer. Always use it on your face first.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
And then, you know, south of the border. Yeah. But I don't like body wash.
Don't you?
No.
I only get it if I steal it from...
It doesn't give me a good lather.
But you stay at hotels. I'll always steal some from a hotel. And the body wash. And when that's gone... No, the body wash and
what
the soap.
Are you staying in three-star hotels?
Those little bottles.
Oh, okay.
The little bottles of body wash.
You are such a cheapskate.
That's all I use.
You will steal the body wash, use it until it's done, and then I'll go back to the soap that I've also stolen.
it's like a little treat body wash.
I like the little things. If you're in a good hotel and it's Locatan or, you know.
Oh, you give them for presents. If you get good stuff.
You give them for presents. I don't give them for presents.
The Big Breakfast with Mardo.
Robin and the Moon Man.
There is no question that in our house at the moment, the one issue that is impacting my 18-year-old is petrol prices. He's only had his license for 6 months, and in that six-month period, petrol has gone up 40 cents.
How many Ks?
No way.
No, 45.
40 cents a litre.
45 cents. I did the homework.
Really?
How many Ks of the week does he do?
He'd do a tank of petrol. So he goes out to uni
bucks.
Out at Springfield. He goes to, you know, goes and works around Brisbane. He works as a landscape guy.
I reckon
welcome
this is bigger
to
this
the
is,
real world, my
that's
friend.
Right. I reckon this is bigger than fuel than power prices. I reckon fuel prices is a more real and more dangerous issue for everyone's budget than power.
Yeah, because he still doesn't turn off his fan.
He doesn't care. He doesn't pay that
cares.
Bill yet.
But to tell us more about why in Queensland we have some of the most expensive petrol in the country, we have Ross Greenwood, who is Channel 9's money man. Hey, Ross.
Hey there. Good morning to you.
Are you on top of this issue, mate? Because a few years ago, not so many years ago, we had an 8 cents a litre excise and then they got rid of it and nothing seemed to happen.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So what's basically happening in Brisbane in particular is that a lot of the independents have disappeared or have been taken over by big organisations. So the independents don't probably have the power that they have in other capital cities like Melbourne and Sydney. So to give you some small example at the moment, if you go through the last couple of petrol cycles, the one before this one you've just seen a spike in the last week or so. So the prices in the previous one, a month or so before then, the prices jumped from $1.37 at their low up to $1.62. Problem is, this time around, the low in the cycle only went to $1.47, so 10 cents a litre higher. They've now jumped in this last cycle up to $1.69 on average. That's for basic unleaded fuel. But if you go into the premium fuels, if you're buying the 95 or the 98, well, your price is getting up, you know, above $1.90 a litre, as many people are seeing right now. And there is a school of thought that, you know, even basic unleaded prices could get themselves out to, you know, $1.80 even more if oil prices keep on going up. Now,
but what's pushing up the prices in Brisbane? Why has it gone up 40 cents in how long, Robin?
6 months.
6 months.
So, number one, oil price, right? The oil price going up adds to the price of fuel ultimately. That's the truth. Number two, Australian dollar. Because we now import most of our fuel into Australia, as a result of that, if the Australian dollar goes down, then the price of fuel goes up. So that's the second thing. But the reason why prices are different in Brisbane as compared with Melbourne and Sydney in particular is because of a genuine lack of real independence to keep the pressure on the prices to go down. And that's one of the reasons. And because in the past, Brisbane had lots and lots of independents, they'd be out there and they would actually keep the prices under control for all of the big players as well. But it seems that unlike Sydney and Melbourne, Brisbane has fewer independents. If you've got less independents out there, ultimately they don't have the pricing power. And so they basically follow the herd of all the big players. And so as a result, the prices go up. The ACCC is doing an investigation into this right now because what they're saying is that petrol margins, the profits that oil companies are making out of petrol, has never been higher. And that implies that there's a lack of competition out there in the petrol market right now.
Can you explain this to me? A truckie mate sent this to thinking we were going to talk to the Premier earlier. He said, how come we were on the opposite cycle to New South Wales before Christmas? Okay, so they were high, we were low. They were running different cycles. And then we're on the same cycle, and that seems to be when our price went up. Is that possible?
Look, the petrol market is just a weird one because everybody knows the price of everybody else. And I've seen it, actually. I've stood there out in the street while we've been filming, you know, sort of even a 20-cent a litre difference between the petrol station here and the petrol station across the road. As soon as
that means the cheap one, Ross, is the hard one to get to. Is that right? They're trying to entice people in. The easy servo to get into is the expensive one.
That's right. But guess what happens? As soon as we start filming and the bloke inside the petrol station looks out, looks up and sees what we're doing, looks out at what we're doing, what we're filming down the road, the price of the petrol goes up by 20 cents on the spot. We've seen it happen. So,
that's,
you know, this is, you know, coincidental. Of course it's not coincidental. They all check each other's prices. Now, the very interesting thing to observe for you is that anywhere there is a Costco, so when you're talking about the Costco in and around Brisbane.
In Brisbane, it's at the north, up near North Lakes.
Right, North Lakes, yeah. So I've been out there. They sell petrol. Anywhere that Costco sells petrol, within basically a 3-kilometre radius, the petrol prices will be the cheapest in your town. And the reason for that is because Costco generally takes all of the margin, a lot of the margin out of the fuel, because if you turn up to Costco to go shopping, that's where they're going to make their dough. So if you buy fuel while you're there, but we've done studies as well that show that if you get out towards the Costcos around North Lakes and stuff like that, generally everybody has to compete with Costco, and so they all bring their prices down in those areas.
All right. Well, I hope we see change sooner. Robin's son's walking to work. Royal Ross Greenwood, Channel 9's Money Man, does great work on the Today Show. We'll talk with you soon.
No problems at all.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Now, we've been promising Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk this morning. She's meant to be joining us for the very first time on our show. She is pulled out at the 11th hour. She shan't be joining us, Marta.
I've pulled a few strings. I've pulled a few strings off air, and I do have Premier for the first time ever on our breakfast show, Premier Palaszczuk. That's who I've got. Premier, hello.
Hello, Marto.
Oh, Jesus.
And hello to you, Robin.
Sounds like the Queen.
It sounds like Mrs. Doubtfire is what it sounds like.
My voice, I've come onto your come onto your radio program to answer a few questions.
That's the Queen's Christmas.
All right.
My husband and I, this is my lady's voice.
Now, you don't have a husband, Premier. No. Now, I just
check? What do I have? Do I have a lover?
No, I don't know what.
Life partner.
All right. No, he left. Anyway, let's go.
Where did he go?
He'd had a gutful of that stupid voice. If I said to you, we want to talk to you about power, which one would you rather talk about? Power, petrol, or daylight saving?
Well, none of those are easy. Daylight savings, for a start.
Your voice has changed.
I know.
My ball just dropped.
Just the one. I'm pulling the plug.
That was the premier.
I don't want to talk about daylight savings. It'll cost me my premiership.
You can't get rid of the premier like that.
That's it. That's on you, Palaszczuk. That awful impression. The Big Breakfast of Brisbane's Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.